After the fear and anxiety surrounding the financial collapse on Wall Street and the initial rejection of the $700 billion bailout by the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate sweetened the deal with $150 billion of unrelated tax cuts and passed the plan. The House then reversed course on October 3rd, accepting the nearly trillion-dollar Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, with President Bush signing the measure the same day. Business and government leaders hoped the bailout deal would begin to calm the markets and unfreeze credit, but Wall Street stocks continued their precipitous decline, followed by a plunge in markets around the globe. Before the bailout bill was passed, other actors proposed various alternative solutions, but were dismissed as both the Bush administration and Democratic leaders in Congress insisted their package was the only one that would be considered. One alternative rescue plan was offered by Jonathan Coppell, who co-authored an October 1st op-ed piece in The Washington Post calling for a bottom-up approach that would provide direct relief to homeowners in trouble. Between the lines, Melinda Tuhu spoke with Coppell, who is director of the Milstein Center for Corporate Governance and Performance, a research and policy center at the Yale School of Management. He summarizes his proposal and explains why he thinks the government may still come around to his idea or similar approaches.
We were saying that the government refinance all these distressed mortgages so that they would essentially give new loans to the people who were in danger, were in default or in danger of default, pay off the existing loans, and then there would be hopefully an affordable payment would be created by doing that, right? So instead of it being an adjustable rate loan that the monthly amount goes up and up and up, it'd be a fixed rate 30-year, say, loan at a relatively reasonable interest rate, say 6%, and that would make it possible for people to make payments and stay in their house. In some cases, however, the payment would still be too high, and so you would have to figure out some way of transferring a portion of the equity in the house to the government, right? So in some sense, the government would co-own the house with you, and the government would get its money back when you sold the house. You know, you could have the person pay a small rent on the portion of the house that the government owns, for example, right? So obviously the homeowner would be getting a big benefit, but it wouldn't be free in the sense that it was costless and that the person who was making their payments in good faith and hadn't defaulted would be still better off than the person who was accepting this bailout. But it just seems like a more reasonable, fair way to have this transfer of wealth to somebody who messed up, right? No matter what you do, somebody who made a bad decision is getting bailed out by the government. So the question is who? And it just strikes me, and I think many people in the country, as grossly unfair that these financial industry firms are going to get a bailout while Americans are going to continue to have foreclosures and lose their homes and so on. Also, from the point of view of efficacy, the problem is not going to go away until you stop the foreclosures. People are going to keep defaulting on their loans, and the economy is getting worse and worse, and people are losing their jobs. This is going to keep happening. And so unless you do something like this, and I believe that even though the bailout passed, something like this will happen because we're going to be in the same place 6 months from now, 8 months from now, when the next wave of foreclosures comes through.
So given that the people with the ability to make these decisions didn't go for that idea at all, were you in favor of the bailout?
I'm not 100% sure that we shouldn't have just let the market do what the market's supposed to do and sort out winners and losers. And that I'll say that and then at the same time defend the decision to do it for the following reason, which is to say it's easy as an observer, to sit back and say, well, how do you know it's going to be so bad, right? I mean, everybody says it's going to be terrible, but they're all self-interested, right? It's all coming from the very people who are going to receive the benefits of the bailout. On the other hand, if you're Congress and everybody's telling you, act now or we're going to plunge the country into the worst economic disaster since the Depression, you want to roll the dice? That's easy to say. It's not necessary. On the other hand, I sympathize with the people put in this position. I also sympathize with people put in this position when I think it was irresponsibly made an up or down referendum on a plan which was mediocre in my view. You know, obviously I suggested an alternative, so I think there are other ways to do it, but I would never in a million years suggest that my alternative or the alternative suggested by me and my colleague was the only alternative, which is exactly what the administration and more or less the Democrats in Congress did. And I think that's insane, right? That, the idea that it had to happen immediately without any thought, without any consideration of other options was crazy. And the position that everybody was put into in Congress, which was either you're for us or against us in some sense, that was a crazy position to be put into. And if I were in Congress, I would have been very, very resistant to accepting that kind of approach.
There are signs already that very serious problems, and people getting laid off, and small businesses shutting down, and so on. How quickly can this be turned around?
I don't think things are going to turn around in the sense that all of a sudden all the arrows are going to start pointing upwards. The question is, how do we avoid precipitous fall? So first of all, the question is, how quickly can the Treasury Department implement this? That's a big question. I don't know. It's a complicated thing what you're supposed to do, right? Now, what the bailout says is that they're going to purchase all these assets from the financial institutions, assets that are completely unsellable today. And the government's going to buy them and figure out what the price is for these unsellable assets based upon some valuation looking to the future markets that are healthy. Well, you tell me how to do that. Nobody knows how to do that. And so that has to be figured out in a way that's both efficient, right, gets the money out there quickly, because that's the whole point, but also doesn't leave the government in a position where they lose hundreds of billions of dollars in the long run, because the idea is that we get this money back eventually. Well, that's not so easy to do. Moreover, the reality is that even if this works, it doesn't deal with the grander economic forces which are pulling everybody in the world down, not just the U.S., but everybody in the world down. So there's nothing that's going to turn that around on a dime. I mean, we've got another minimum, 2 years of rocky economic times ahead, I would say.
That was Jonathan Coppell, director of the Milstein Center for Corporate Governance and Performance at the Yale School of Management. Contact the school at area code 203-432-8070 or visit the center's website at milstein.som.yale.edu.